So our topic that that we've got this afternoon is to talk about missionary care. This is something very much near and dear to my heart. And so I do want us to be as practical as we can be. I'm trying to get to see how I won't get anyone else away. I want it to be as practical as possible. I hope that you'll come away with some things that you can take back to your church and sort of think through, okay, how could we apply this? Maybe it won't be everything. Maybe it'll just be bits and pieces. But I will also say to you, I'm open to conversation if after this is done. If you have questions of me, happy to talk to you while we're here. Happy for you to call anytime after and say, hey, got to thinking about what you said, and we're trying to figure out how to what that might look like in our church. Happy to be a part of that conversation with you. Okay, that's the prize that you get for having come to this breakout session. I don't know if that's much of a prize, but anyway. I want to start with a couple of questions, and I put them here on the board. And so I want to get a little bit of feedback from you. And this is, let's just say, mainstream, typical when you think about this. How do Southern Baptists send missionaries? How would you answer that question?
Via mission teams.
Okay. So, all right.
Short-term mission team.
Okay. Let's think about long-term missionaries. How do we send missionaries?
Through apply. And
with who?
Well, it'd be the International Mission Board.
Okay. Typically the International Mission Board. Yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts about how we typically send the average Southern Baptist church? Okay. How about this question? How do Southern Baptists support missionaries? Lottie Moon, cooperative program, 50% of the 50% that goes beyond the state goes to the International Mission Board. Might think about that then you have 26% that goes to the North American Mission Board, sending out church planters and things.
We directly partner with missions.
Okay.
Especially church planters.
Okay. So you guys have developed some direct partnerships?
Yeah, we do 3 and 5 year partnerships.
Okay. All right. Okay. Not every Southern Baptist church does that, but more and more Southern Baptist churches are starting to do that. Okay. Based on those two answers, what would you say is one of the, or some of the challenges that we face in caring for missionaries? Thinking about sort of the typical pathway that we have for sending missionaries, typical pathways that we have for supporting missionaries. What are some of the challenges that we often face in caring for our missionaries?
Possibly not enough visits. People visiting and kind of giving them a break or a reprieve.
Okay. All right. So limitations in being able to visit, being able to spend time
often
with them.
Enough. Yeah.
Okay.
Finding out their needs.
Okay. Figuring out, how do we know? How do we know what's going on? How do we know what the needs are? How do we know the practical definition of what it means to care for them? Okay. What else?
You don't know them personally, necessarily.
Yeah. Certainly within our very traditional sending mechanisms and supporting mechanisms, it can be very impersonal, can it? All right? It can be, maybe if we're really personal, it's the WMU comes to us and says, hey, so-and-so's having a birthday this week and we need to pray for them. Or maybe you've adopted, your church has adopted a missionary or something like that. But often, and for a lot of churches, it's a somewhat impersonal kind of thing. We know a place, we know a name, maybe we'll see a video on occasion or something on a Lottie Moon promo strip, but we don't know them. And so that's one of the difficulties. It's hard to care for people that you don't know. Okay, anything else? Any other challenges?
Well, the ones that we have a couple, people that went to Indonesia. So financially, we basically have to do two things. One, we have to route everything through the IMB because of the area in which they're in.
Okay.
And we also partner in paying for their, I guess you would say, people that are national, where they're from, mm-hmm. that they're actually discipling, so they have people. So.
Okay. Yeah, so sometimes because of restricted access and things like that, caring becomes complicated because the mechanisms of maybe how to get tangible care to them are limited, or maybe even visits are limited, or maybe it's just really expensive in that place, and so you know, caring becomes sort of a financial thing, even over and above our Lottie Moon gifts and cooperative program gifts and all that. All right, I ask you those. I ask you those three questions because I want to present to you first, before we talk specifically and practically about caring for missionaries. I want to present to you a model that relates to sending that I think directly connects to this idea of caring. Okay? And I want to do that by talking about a couple of scripture passages. There are a lot more that we could talk about, but I want to talk about a couple of them that I think stand out for me. And we're going to start in Acts chapter 13. Now, Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 14, a little bit of Acts chapter 15 are all really significant passages for me as the founding planter and pastor of Antioch, because it's really where we took our identity as a church. We called our church Antioch because of what we see here in Acts chapter 13, because of what was mentioned in Acts chapter 11, because of what we see continuing to happen in Acts chapter 14 and then in Acts chapter 15. The church at Antioch had a unique structure to it at that time, but one that I think should be a paradigm for how we think about doing church. And so in naming our church plant Antioch Church, the goal, it was sort of aspirational, right? We wanted to be like Antioch. That was our hope. Not that we thought that we had it all figured out, but we desperately wanted to be a church that reflected and modeled itself after this picture that we see in the church at Antioch. So in chapter 13, you've heard these verses often. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Crazy diverse group of key leaders and elders in this church. As they were worshiping, and I think that's probably broadened out, not just the leaders worshiping, but the church worshiping, the Lord, and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after they had fasted, prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them off. Who sent them off?
The church.
The church. Antioch Church sent off Saul and Barnabas on that first missionary journey. They sought the Lord through the work of this leadership that was going on. The understanding they had. Now remember, this is a church that back in Acts chapter 11, it's where they were first called Christians. Now they were called Christians in a derogatory kind of way, right? Little Christ. I wish that we could be called Christians in a derogatory way like that, right? I wish that the people around us would see us as being so much like Christ that they would just call us little Christ. Oh, you guys are just like little mimics of Jesus. Amen. Yes, more of that, please. That's what we want to try to be. But that was the heart and the spirit of this church, a church where there was this diversity going on, a church where there were Jews and Gentiles that were coming to Jesus in this place, one of the first places where that really began to happen in earnest. And then in this place, the Holy Spirit directs, in the midst of worship and prayer and fasting, the Holy Spirit directs them, okay, now it's time to send. Now it's time to extend this mission beyond. So it was the church that sent. Now look in chapter 14. At the end of chapter 14, we're at the end of the first missionary journey. And in verse 26 it says, from there they sailed back to where do you think? Back to Antioch. They sailed back to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they now had completed. After they arrived, gathered the church together, they did what? Reported everything that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent a considerable time with the disciples. I think this is significant, but I think it's something that we don't talk about very much, right? So you had these two missionaries in our modern parlance. They have these two missionaries that under the leadership and direction of the Holy Spirit, they sent out on mission. They went out on mission, planting churches, reaching the Gentiles, going to places where the name of Jesus had not yet been proclaimed. And when they were done, they came back to where they were sent from. They gathered the church back together. They reported everything that God had been doing. They gave testimony to the grace of the gospel. And they stayed with them to encourage them. And I would guess probably to continue to interact about what God had been doing and what God might do next. Now, we could look in 15. There's another mention about an interaction with Antioch after a dispute came because some bad actors came in and were trying to push circumcision. And they ended up then sending Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem to get some clarification, to get some explanation. So what you see here is just this really healthy church culture. And a part of that healthy church culture is a sending culture, but is also a receiving culture. And I would argue that a part of that is a relational culture. Okay? What we see here is a relationship between the sent ones and the sending church. And if we're going to understand what missionary care is about, I think we've got to understand that as the foundation. That the foundation is for the church to be in relationship with the sent ones. Because if it's just a name, maybe a face, maybe a place, if it's just something that pops up every year at Christmas time when we talk about Lottie Moon, if it's just this sort of distant and disengaged thing, this disembodied sent sort of whatever floating around out there, if that's all that it is, then there's not going to be the kind of relationship that we desperately need in true sending. Okay? So I'm making the argument with you that the local church must be the primary focus of missionary care.